The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District or its employees. For more information about the Sewer District and its projects and programs, visit neorsd.org. The Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District presents Clean Water Works, a podcast that explores water, sewer, and stormwater issues that affect you and your community. Learn about the people, projects, and programs that are protecting your health and the environment here in Cleveland and throughout Northeast Ohio.
Have you ever been surfing at Edgewater?
I have not been surfing. You know, I have to confess, that's a different mindset out there. But it's usually happening during a rain event when maybe the water isn't the best to, you know, be around. So
they must have breed.
Yeah, they must have hardy internal organs.
They just keep their mouth shut, I think.
But fun to watch, though, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's always fun to watch them when they're out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are nuts.
So, this is Clean Water Works, a podcast of the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. We have been doing some outreach to our partner agencies, and we are excited to share a number of podcast episodes this fall and winter with organizations that share our mission or whose missions overlap. And so today we have two guests from the Cleveland Metro Parks. Jennifer Greiser is Director of Natural Resources for the Metro Parks, and Sean McDermott is Chief Planning and Design Officer. Welcome, both of you.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Can you give us an idea of the scope of the system for people unfamiliar with how vast Cleveland Metro Parks is?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been at the parks coming up on 10 years now, and I'm still every day impressed by the scope of the Cleveland Metro Park system and of our peers as well. We've got incredible park districts here in Northeast Ohio, all working together to connect and really sustain and improve the quality of life here. Cleveland Metro Park specifically, you know, we're coming up on a pretty important milestone in that, you know, we will reach a 25,000 acre threshold very, very soon. And that's a big deal, because we are a built-out county, if you will, in terms of Cuyahoga. We do own and operate parks in the five counties surrounding Cuyahoga. But the fact that 100 years later, we are still working through executing a vision that was laid out by William Stinchcomb and conserving very important pieces of land and doing so in a very strategic manner. I mean, it is, at this point, in Cuyahoga County at least, really rare to find anything over 20, 30, 50, 80 acres. And, you know, we have been very targeted and strategic to grow some of our reservations. And it could be as important or small as a 0.1 or 0.2 acre property, but also the larger properties are just as important in terms of conservation.
Right. And can you talk a little bit about how the Metro Parks has taken on additional properties from the city, specifically the beaches, and how that came about? How do you acquire responsibility for a piece of property?
First and foremost, I think there was a public sentiment that our lakefront could be better stewarded, if you will. Mm-hmm. You would drive by our lakefront and know that there was untapped potential. And quite frankly, at sometimes it was a little sad to know that you'd go by on a beautiful day and there just weren't the number of people there that you would expect to be at a, you know, fantastic beach or lakefront park. We've always had lakefront parks, even back to 1925. We had Huntington Reservation. So when the discussions and the opportunity came about in 2012, 2013 for Cleveland Metro Parks to take upon management of the formerly managed by ODNR lakefront state parks, you know, we jumped at it. And, you know, June 6, 2013, we were out there and ready to go, talking with the public and understanding what do you want to see at these parks, and invested it in infrastructure first, clean and safe first. You know, now we're at a point where we're really bringing cool and unique amenities to our lakefront parks. I mean, by the time you can get to a point where you're building these custom playgrounds, you know you're doing something right because we've got people comfortable being there, and now we're adding these really, really unique amenities.
I think one of the really cool things about being in Northeast Ohio that you don't get everywhere is that you can turn to somebody else from Northeast Ohio and be like, oh, like what metro park do you live by? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like everyone has a metro park, hopefully, that they interact with on the regular. Like mine is Edgewater. I live very close to it. I'm there all the time. I'm sure you have one that you
I'm right by Wildwood Park and Euclid Beach.
Yeah. And so I feel like everyone has this like touch point with the metro parks in one way or another. I feel like that's really special. You don't get that in a lot of communities.
You don't. I traveled a lot in my previous career. And what I took for granted is not every city has what we have. Not every region has what we have. And I like to think as what Cleveland Metro Parks does is we obviously do improve the quality of life, but really what we are to Northeast Ohioans and Clevelanders is we are a way of life. So just like you associate with your home park and your home park, it's something that I think is ingrained in all of us. And I don't want to say we take it for granted, but when you do travel the country and see what others don't have, we have an incredible gold medal award winning system here.
I will say, I feel like a lot of the parks are built around water. Jen, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. A few months ago, I was working on some of our records retention and going through really old files. Yeah. One of them was our first annual report called the Emerald Necklace from 1919. And I was leafing through it, and every single photo had a stream or a valley in it. I mean, that was the express vision of William Stinchcomb, was the preservation of these stream values and bringing the community to them. And then how to not just preserve the land around the streams, but then be good stewards of it. And talking, it's kind of interesting sitting here at the sewer district today, because the report talked about the monitoring that we were doing of Rocky River, Euclid Creek, Tinker's Creek, Chippewa Creek, all over for bacteria and tracking change, whether it was for better or worse, and the need for sanitary updates. And it's just kind of interesting to think back 90-100 years ago and know how kind of similar our thinking was around water quality, but then to think about how far the action of that and what we see on the ground now to keep our waterways swimmable, fishable, and Lake Erie's water drinkable.
And real quick, William Stinchcomb was?
So William Stinchcomb was actually untrained, if you will. So architect, engineer. He started in the City of Cleveland Parks Department and then eventually was the first executive director of the Metro Parks.
Oh, okay.
There's a hill.
Stinchcomb Hill.
That I have run too many times for track or whatever, that they just make us go up and down. Stinchcomb Hill, it's very steep, very steep.
You must be in good shape.
I'm not. Many moons ago. Jen, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you landed at the Metro Parks?
Sure. So I have a master's in environmental policy and natural resource management from Indiana University. And that led me to an AmeriCorps position, actually in upstate New York for New York City Department of Environmental Protection, working in the Catskills, where they get 90% of their drinking water from. It's a pretty cool system. And wasn't really looking for a new position. And then one of my colleagues there sent me a posting for Cleveland Metro Parks. And I said, did you know my family lives in Northeast Ohio? And she didn't. She just thought it sounded like something I'd be interested in. I was really intrigued by the construction of the Watershed Stewardship Center. Long story short, I ended up at Cleveland Metro Parks in 2010 and became Director of Natural Resources in 2019.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Watershed Stewardship Center?
Oh, I'd love to. The Watershed Stewardship Center is really a unique facility for Cleveland Metro Parks in that it's a partnership facility. So we are pleased to partner with Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, West Creek Conservancy, and the City of Parma. And It's also unique in that it's not just staff from our outdoor experiences division, but also quite a few people from natural resources and staff from the sewer district as well. And the facility's mission is really to protect and restore our urban watersheds, one, by advancing the science of watershed and stormwater management, and then two, by applying what we've learned, and three, involving the community in that endeavor.
And then there's like the interactive watershed map, which I think is really helpful because people are like, what's a watershed? And it's not the easiest thing to explain. So when you have like a giant interactive map where you can show people the topography and things that they recognize, like their church or their school or the street they live on, it's much easier to explain to them how a watershed works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love when they come in and they're like, that's my house.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then they, you know, they can relate it, like how close or far away from the stream itself that they are, or what's in the way between them and the stream.
Great. Yeah, let's talk more about the overlap of our two organizations. When did they really start collaborating?
So I started with Cleveland Metro Parks in 2010 and really came to the park system with a background in working across borders and municipalities. And we really take a mindset of ecosystem management, so managing kind of on a watershed or a sub-watershed basis, and so not by political boundaries, and acknowledging that we could spend all the money in the world inside Cleveland Metro Parks, but things like stormwater and invasive plants and wildlife, they're going to cross these borders. So that need for partnership. We were in the process of finalizing the designs around constructing the Watershed Stewardship Center. Leadership prior to that really kind of kicked off that partnership, and now the current leadership of both of our organizations are carrying that through.
And as far as planning these different projects, how do you prioritize them? Is it from public feedback where you get the first ideas of things that people want, or do you have other ways for figuring out what you're going to do next?
So we go through a revolving process of reservation master plan updates. So we have 18 reservations. We now have 9 golf courses and the zoo, like I mentioned. Each reservation and the zoo all have a master plan. And I mean, I'll tell you, just like we are very robustly supported at the ballot box when it comes levy time, we get very robust public input when it comes to our plans, because people have an idea of what they would like to see or change. And we appreciate that. So we take all that feedback into our plans, and then every year we create a basically capital improvement plan. And at any time, we have probably 100 to 140 projects in some stage.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot. And the teams work together to get all these done. And we really try and educate the public on the projects that we're about to undertake and then why we're going through the project. So there's almost a continual engagement process to take feedback and then educate the public as well.
I think for park planning, one of the challenges is built environment versus natural environment and the balance that lies within. And, you know, like you just said, you have 9 golf courses that you manage, but you also have acres and acres of ecological parkland, right?
So, yeah, we at least internally talk a lot about like the 80-20 rule, if you will, where approximately 80% of our acreage is undeveloped, conserved. We really try and tread lightly. The public does see a lot of the work that goes into the 20% where we're building trails. We're doing improvements. You know, we're doing things at the zoo to bring new exhibits. You know, we're doing that with, you know, sustainability as an ethos and stormwater, how we treat stormwater as one of the first considerations of these projects. Finding ways to do things as smart as possible, but they need to stand the test of time and also limit impact on the environment long term.
One of the things I really like to talk to people about or remind people is that while we're in an urban setting, Sean was mentioning really built out, we still have really high quality natural resources. We have the highest quality type of wetlands and primary headwaters you can have. And we have amazing staff that are identifying rare plants almost on a daily basis, uncommon insects, rare birds. And then in recent years, we've been celebrating the return of trumpeter swans and river otters that are really a testament that the conservation work that we're doing has been successful in really healing the whole, you know, kind of web of life, as it were.
And when you look at our peers, you know, we are CAPRA certified. So that is, we're accredited, if you will. So that stacks us up with, you know, the best park districts in the country. A lot somewhat kind of prescribed to that 80-20 rule, if they have a conservation bent like we do. So we are, you know, conservation, education, recreation. Those are our kind of three pillars.
Do you want to talk about some of those natural resource projects that we've done together or that you guys are working on now?
Sure. One that was a lot of fun and great results was Bonnie Park at Millstream Run Reservation in the Strongsville area. We received some funding from Ohio Environmental Protection Agency to remove a small low head dam that had been there since the 1930s, try to naturalize the hydrology. And then there was a ball field nearby that hadn't been used in a while, and reverting that to wetland. So it's great to have sewer district assistance with doing some mussel surveys for us, some sediment sampling behind the dam that helped kind of inform the path forward.
And what's the purpose of the dam removal?
Thank you. So by removing the dam, we are connecting the natural aquatic wildlife, the fish and macroinvertebrates, or the aquatic bugs that live in the stream, and naturalizing the habitats of the river itself. So that's the East Branch Rocky River. And what pointed us to the need for that project is Ohio EPA's water quality report that showed that basically the whole length of the East Branch Rocky River was in attainment of its habitat goals for warm water habitat, except for one location, and that was Bonnie Park, where the dam was. So then fast forward to project completion, and sewer district staff came out and resampled the habitat, the fish, and the macroinvertebrates, and found that for all three of those areas, the project was in attainment of those habitat goals. So really awesome achievement.
Good news, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't see that in such a short amount of time. I mean, biology and the natural world can be slow. We think about the length of time it takes to grow a tree. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, dam removals really can provide that that instant success, as it were.
It has been years in the making, and most recently, City of Cleveland and other partners, including Cleveland Metro Parks, partnered on the Vision for the Valley study. So this was basically a master plan for the Cuyahoga River Valley from the mouth of the river at Lake Erie, just about just south of 490, if you will. And that plan looked at land use. It looked at how industry and recreation and land use could kind of coexist in harmony. The Cuyahoga River is such a crucially important, not only economic driver, but ecological driver for Northeast Ohio. And one of the main components of the plan was a contiguous riverfront boardwalk or trail with the Irish Town Bend Project, which, you know, we could spend a whole podcast on that. The Irish Town Bend Project, after the stabilization is complete, there is funding in place to construct the trail along the riverside that will, in essence, fill a gap in the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lake Link Trail that exists today. And once that gap is filled, you'll be able to ride your bike or walk from Zora, Ohio, on the towpath trail basically all the way to the Coast Guard station at the mouth of Cuyahoga. So that's a crucial project. So that is the West Bank. On the East Bank, we are working to acquire properties that would then set the groundwork for the trail from basically Columbus Road, Rivergate Park, north, eventually, hopefully all the way to Flats East Bank. So those pieces are coming together, and we're really excited about what that means in the coming years here. The lakefront, you know, it's, I don't want to say embarrassing, but when you live in a lakefront city and we do not have a contiguous lakefront trail, you know, along the city of Cleveland proper for that 14 miles, but what's going to be fixed here in the very near term, starting next year, is ourselves, Cuyahoga County, with great funding from NOACA, so that's our Metropolitan Planning Organization, and an incredible donation from the Mandel Foundation, putting forward a $12 million project to connect East 9th, so basically the Rock Hall, Cleveland Brown Stadium, to East 55th and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So we'll basically be connecting our lakefront to our, you know, Eds and Meds University Circle campus. And it should have been done years ago, but you know what? We're getting it done now. So yeah, that's the exciting part. So construction will start next year, and it'll be done in 2025. And we will then have just about an interconnected lakefront, especially on the east side from kind of Brattonall toward downtown.
So will that go along, what is that, North Marginal?
It is North Marginal, yes.
Okay.
So today, if you run North Marginal and you want to know where the bike infrastructure is, really all there is some paint on the ground that wears off quickly. But now we will have a dedicated facility for a multiple uses.
Okay, cool. So,
yes.
That's great.
Good news, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we should get a little background on your career.
We did, Jen.
So how did you come to your current role with the Metro Parks?
Great. So I'm coming up on a decade with Cleveland Metro Parks. I'm a registered civil engineer in the state of Ohio. Grew up on the west side of Cleveland and went to the University of Dayton. So I'm a proud Flyer. And, you know, it's interesting because I wanted nothing more than to move to Denver or Seattle. The only two places I would move, and I was going to hike and ski and work, you know, work during the week. And it just didn't turn out that way, which is great. It's the best thing. My parents wanted me back here. This is like full Cleveland brain drain going on at the time. So, you know, late 90s, early aughts. And, you know, it's the best decision that I ever made because literally get to participate in actually having impact and, and moving the needle. So came back to Cleveland, went immediately back to grad school. I'm a Cleveland State alum for the Master's in Urban Planning, Design, and Development.
A Muppet.
A Muppet, that's right. yes. And I worked in the private sector doing real estate development for 8.5 years. I worked in 14 states. We would get hired to develop real estate for others, you know, be it large corporations, smaller corporations, and then we did some of our own development of shopping centers and apartments and things of that nature. So I got to see the country and see how things were done in, you know, all, literally all quadrants of the country. And wasn't fulfilled, I guess you would say, on the private sector side. You know, there's a lot of perks in the private sector, but there's also some challenges. And I'm very involved in my hometown of Lakewood. And that whole civic side really wasn't certainly being fulfilled by my job. So I kind of made up for it with some volunteer work in civic inclusion in Lakewood. But then one day I got a call regarding this opportunity at Cleveland Metro Parks, and that was 10.5 years ago, and here we are.
Can you tell us why Cleveland Metro Parks Zoo is different from most zoos?
First of all, at least in Ohio, Cleveland Metro Parks, we are the only park district in Ohio that also operates a zoo.
Oh, okay.
So then, and that is somewhat unique across the country. You know, in 2032, the zoo will turn 150 years old. Imagine that.
It's a minute.
It's a minute, yeah. But you know us. We like to plan.
Right? This is true.
Yes. Yeah, the Cleveland Metro Parks Zoo, you know, approximately 180 acres. You know, we're seeing over 1 million visitors a year. We've done a lot in terms of improvements to the zoo in the past decade and, you know, really providing better experiences first for our animal collection, and then for our guests as well.
What's your favorite exhibit?
The Roseboro Tiger Passage. So that's our relatively new tiger exhibit. Very few like it in the country, where you literally immerse yourself between the tiger habitats and the tigers can walk above you.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can also get nose to nose. The glass is very thick and safe, but you can be within 2 inches of a tiger, which is pretty amazing.
What about you, Jen?
I really like Northern Trek. And so that's where the wolves are and the bears and now the snow leopards. And mainly because they're the animals that are out in the winter. So they just like identify with like, you can put up with this Cleveland weather along with the rest of us, unlike some of the other animals that have to be inside.
That would be
where
me.
It's warm.
Yeah, definitely.
Donna's hanging out in the rainforest.
I am, 100%. Yes.
Those little frogs, poison frogs.
Orangutans.
The dart frog, yeah.
For people who haven't been to the zoo in a while, what are some other recent acquisitions or features that they might want to check out?
Yeah, so I guess it depends how long is a while, but you know, we have a wonderful custom carousel at the zoo. Our African elephant crossing, I think we completed that in 2012. Mm-hmm. Fantastic exhibit, which, you know, every day you can see the elephants cross the path and kind of go from habitat to another habitat. We've got a new giraffe feeding deck where for very nominal fee, you can literally feed giraffe lettuce out of your hand. And they have these long, wrapping, gooey tongues, which is unique. And then across from the Ben Gagalik giraffe experience, we've got a new zip line. And, you know, we really worked for years on how to develop a zip line at the zoo. And what we didn't want to do was separate riders of the zip line, especially kids, from parents. A lot of zip line courses, you start somewhere and you end somewhere else. We worked with a company out of Utah, and we have this experience that you're strapped into a seat. So you sit and then you're pulled above Waterfowl Lake, and you're put about 160 feet in the air or so, and then released back down to where you started. So we've solved that issue. But I'll tell you that the view you get from the top of the zip line is amazing, because you get downtown views. You can see the old Brooklyn neighborhood and down in the zoo itself. It's a lot of fun to do during our Wild Winter Lights event, which is coming up. And then we are working on the best gorilla exhibit in the world.
Wow.
It's a bold claim.
It is a bold claim, but it's one that we take seriously. Is at Cleveland Metro Park Zoo, we hold the SSP Species Survival Plan for the Western African lowland gorilla. So, you know, we are doing conservation work all over the world. It's a lot of pressure, but it's a challenge we're ready to rise and meet and exceed, quite frankly.
So, I'm sorry, what does that mean? Your gorillas live the longest? Or?
It means that we work with partners, Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund and others, to literally come up with the science and do the research on how to help the lowland the Western lowland African gorilla survive and thrive in the wild.
Wow.
Because a lot of the work we do at the zoo isn't just you know, having our animals thrive. It's working with other organizations throughout the world to help in terms of efforts towards conservation of those spaces where they live in the wild or naturally.
You're on Netflix. You're basically famous.
Metro Parks is on
Cleveland Netflix. Metro Parks has a Netflix baby gorilla camera show.
Yes.
And I've watched it a lot.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I love watching.
What's it called?
It is called the Baby Gorilla Camera, I think.
Is it like a live feed or is it?
It is a live feed. Yeah, it's scheduled, but it's a live feed.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the production that goes behind this is amazing. I mean, just to see kind of like Command Central and what it takes to put this on is impressive. So tune in.
I just want to make sure to talk about how awesome the Watershed Volunteer Program is. Mm. The home base is out of the Watershed Stewardship Center. It's heavily supported by Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District via staff and operating funds. But what's really unique about this program, we have over 300 volunteers from throughout Cuyahoga County and surrounding counties, is that it offers a create-your-own watershed adventure. So we offer monitoring activities, restoration events, and learning modules. And people can do a little bit of everything and really well understand how our watersheds work and ways to maintain them. Or if they're just interested in one topic, they can just dive into that. So maybe it's native plants. So they help us with collecting seeds for native plants, and then they also help us with planting native plants out at restoration projects or other places. But we also do a lot of stormwater rain gardening projects and getting the volunteers out to help us maintain mm-hmm. bioretention cells.
So if someone wants to get involved in learning about the ecosystem or watersheds, that would be a good place to
start. Yeah. It is. And we have a great cross-section of people, all different ages, from undergraduate students to retirees and professionals. We have some people that are in the consulting world in watershed management, mm-hmm. and this is their opportunity to give back to the community. We have people from NASA that, you know, they're brainiacs, and we love to tap into that resource too. And I think one thing that attracts people to it is that we have a certification program. So if they participate in 10 hours or more of volunteer time, they can become a certified watershed steward, and kind of opens up other opportunities as well.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is the mini documentary that we recently produced in partnership with the Sewer District and West Creek Conservancy. And it's about a 15-minute piece, and maybe we can tag it in the show notes.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Is there a website thing people
yes,
can
yes.
view it, or
we
is
have,
it on YouTube or something?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I'm excited to say that a Hispanic version will be coming out soon.
Thank you guys for joining us today. We're always happy to have you as partners in the good work of watershed stewardship and ecosystem renewal, conservation.
Jen Greiser and Sean McDermott, thanks very much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Take care.
Did you know eligible customers can save up to 40% on their sewer charges? Learn more about the Sewer District's cost-saving programs and use our discount calculator at neorsd.org/save or call 216-881-8247. That's neorsd.org/save or 216-881-8247.
Clean Waterworks is produced by the Communications and Community Relations Department at the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. Our music was composed and performed by G.S. Schrey. If you have a question or suggestion, or if you'd like to learn more about the Regional Sewer District, visit neorsd.org or call 216-881-8247.